This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Today on the On Enquirer podcast, we catch up with our guy, Michael Tuip, On Enquirer basketball analyst, to get his thoughts on Illinois basketball 71-64 loss to Marquette, a marquee matchup that was close really until the final minute or so, but Illinois had its chances to win in the final minutes but went cold. Two of their last 16 shooting, a lot of careless turnovers late in the game, just late game execution did not work, but there were some positives that we'll talk about with Michael Tuip. We'll talk about the personnel, we'll talk about what Underwood needs to do with this offense, given their personnel. As always, great basketball breakdown from Michael Tuip. We also talk a little bit of Big Ten. So Michael Tuip's coming up next, right here on the On Enquirer podcast. This holiday season, you might be looking for nutritious, convenient meals to keep you energized on jam-packed days. Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal delivery service, can help you fuel up fast for breakfast, lunch, and dinner with chef-prepared, dietitian-approved, ready-to-eat meals delivered straight to your door. You'll save time, eat well, and stay on track with a healthy lifestyle while tackling your holiday to-dos. Too busy with holiday plans to cook, but want to make sure you're eating well? With Factor, skip the extra trip to the grocery store and the chopping, prepping, and cleaning up too, while still getting the flavor and nutritional quality you need. Factor's fresh, never frozen meals are ready in just 2 minutes, so all you have to do is heat and enjoy. This holiday season, get Factor and enjoy eating well without the hassle. Simply choose your meals and enjoy fresh, flavor-packed meals delivered right to your door. Ready in just 2 minutes, no prep, no mess. So head to factormeals.com/Illini50 and use code Illini50 to get 50% off. That's code Illini50 at factormeals.com/Illini50 to get 50% off.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
All right, time to catch up with our guy, Michael Tuip, On Enquirer basketball analyst, to talk about a marquee matchup that was a pretty good matchup. Illinois falls, though, 71-64 to Marquette as their offense goes cold in that one. We'll talk about the issues, Mike, but this was a pretty dang good game, a close game against the number four team in the country. Obviously not able to pull it out, but do you glean any positives from this? I want to start positive first.
They competed. And you don't want to keep saying that throughout the season. Eventually, you want to start winning these types of games. But that's a Marquette team that has been together for a few years now. They won a Big East title both Big East titles last year, and then they were a two seed in the NCAA tournament. So it was a great litmus test. I think what you've shown so far against Kansas and then now against Marquette is that you certainly belong in these games. It's just some of the mistakes that we'll get into against good teams. You can't have sequences like Illinois had. These teams will step on your throat. So, like I said, we'll dive into just the diagnostics, I guess, but it's at least a positive that you can go toe-to-toe with a team like that. The environment looked insane. And honestly, after watching, there was so much college basketball that night, and that game was a fantastic palate cleanser after the first half of Michigan State Duke. That was a tough one. So the fact that you can compete and you can, like I said, go toe to toe against those type of teams, I think is certainly a positive.
And if you're not an Illinois fan, you're just a basketball fan. You were treated Tyler Kolek as a former guard, Mike. I'm just wondering what are your thoughts about Tyler Kolek, who certainly looked like a preseason All-American.
Yeah, that's what an All-American point guard looks like. Just absolutely has you in a chokehold all game with his pace. You know, I always say you're going to play at Tyler Kolek's pace, whether you like it or not. It's very reminiscent, and they have somewhat different games, but Fred VanVleet's the same way.
Yeah.
These guys that are kind of undersized. Kolek's not. I wouldn't say he's undersized. I think he's bigger than people give him credit for, but he competes, man. I mean, he's Rhode Island, New York, Boston. He's that type of blue collar. But you see the impact that has when you have someone, especially late game, that can set the table and get you into some things. And especially when there's those mano-a-mano situations like there are late game, it's not always just crisp offense. You need someone that can go in there and play off 2 feet and get to the free throw line, knock down free throws. He's incredible. And he's a big reason why they've had the success that they've had. Because really before he got there, that program wasn't doing too hot. And he comes in from George Washington and is just outstanding.
Yeah, and it's hard not to see the differences of these two teams. One with an All-American point guard, one without a point guard. Let's be honest. What happened with the Illinois offense late, Mike, where it just bogged down and they weren't able to get anything going?
Yeah, again, I talk about mano a mano late. I mean, that's defenses get spread out, and at times there's just not a lot of crisp offense opportunities. So you just need to have guys that can go and get one. And Terrence can certainly do that. I just think there's just a lot of predictability around that right now. And not having a guy that recognizes those moments. And Terrence is doing all he can because he's shouldering a lot, guarding the other team's best player, and then trying to manage point guard duties late game. You saw the pass that he threw into the eighth row. And then on top of that, just clock stuff. I mean, it felt like there was a sense of urgency issue when they needed a score late. They were down six, and it was like dribbling the ball up 40% up the court. And part of that is I think Terrence was tired, man.
Yeah.
I mean, he was going a million miles an hour that whole game. So this is going to be an evolving thing, and especially for the offense. And this is probably a more macro look at it, not just the late game stuff, but you got to find the low hanging fruit at this point. And you don't need to overhaul anything. You don't need to make wholesale changes to your offense or what you do. You just need to do what you're doing better. And the two things that I'm seeing right now, really three things. One, there are too many guys coming off of ball screens with no intention to do anything. Like, literally, it's, hey, I got a ball screen getting set for me. I'm going to take two dribbles off of it and then swing it. And that's not doing anything for your offense. And then especially late game where, you don't have a Dane Dangin, you don't have, like, a true five in, so you do a lot of five-out stuff. And if you're not going to move and cut in five-out, it becomes really hard to execute offense. I think I've talked about this before where you think about five out and how there's all this space with five out, but if you don't move and you don't cut, you're actually putting five defenders on the perimeter to clog gaps. Like it is actually harder to drive five out than it is four out, one in, because there's more guys clogging those gaps. So that's one. Two, or I guess that's one and two, that coming off the ball screens with aggression, Damask was a huge culprit of this, and I think he started to figure it out a little bit in this game, but even had some moments late where it's like, you're not going anywhere off these balls. They don't want to be a ball screen team.
Yeah.
They don't. But you kind of have to be a ball screen team if you're not going to move and you're not going to cut. So that's those are two pretty big key components to offense. And then the third thing that I'll mention as well is that when Coleman's in there at the five, and this is late game stuff too, everything is pick and pop right now. And you, even if you don't feel like you're going to get a just rim run off the roll layup, you have to roll on occasions. Because if you don't roll on occasions, you're not giving any opportunity for these tag men that are on the weak side to pull in. If everything is pick and pop, then everything starts going east-west, and there's no shifting of the defense. There's no over-helping potentially or honoring you on a roll. When teams are going to hard hedge or they're even going to be up to the level, Coleman's got to slip out to the back. He's just got to mix in more of those, because then maybe that pulls in the weak side guy. Now you get a skip to Luke Goody. Now you get a skip to Damask. Maybe it's a skip to a non-shooter in Ty Rogers, but he can attack a long closeout. It's just better offense. So, like I said, there doesn't need to be wholesale changes to what they do. They just need to do what they're doing better.
Through three games, Coleman Hawkins averaging 4.7 points on 31% shooting, three turnovers. What are you seeing out of Coleman? What do they need out of Coleman?
He looks like a guy that is, I don't know, I go back and forth. Sometimes he looks like he's processing a lot, and sometimes he just looks like he's not focused. And look, there are some changes for him this year. One, you're dealing with a new team and new personnel around you, but also he's probably playing more drop coverage defensively than he has in the past few years, definitely more than last year. And there's times he's bailed out of drop coverage, but all that to be said, he's still been a part of some pretty incredible possessions on both ends. He just needs to be smart. These whip passes across his face. I mean, he had a really good hook pass to start the game to Damask for the three in the corner. That's fine. But the stuff at the top of the key, when you have all the defense in front of you and you're trying to, whip pass across your face, thread needles, you just limit those. You just have to limit those. And if you do that, maybe that saves you two turnovers per game and two less runouts that the other team gets. He's such an important part of what they do. And you can see over the years how they'll kind of go as he goes. That's common for a guy that's this involved in the offense and in the defense. So he has to recognize that. He has to recognize his standing in this team and take ownership of that and say, wow, they're trusting me to be involved in a lot, both offensively and defensively. And I got to step up and rise to the occasion, because him making those mistakes as more like a marginal guy or a guy that's just kind of in every now and then,
right?
You can work around that. But if he's going to be this much of a focal point of what they do, you can't have those mistakes as a fourth-year guy. And then just, I go back and forth, because the fire that he plays with can spill over into worrying about things that are out of his control, calls from the refs, just, even when Dre Gibbs-Lawhorn took the – or when he got the ball taken from him by Kolick, the first thing he did was look back to see who was being guarded by Kolick, and maybe didn't yell anything out. And it's loud in there, but just little things that he can correct. But we've seen good Coleman Hawkins and what that looks like. And I think that's coming down the pipeline too.
Yeah.
And he's going to figure it out. And Brad's done a few things now. He's kind of shelved him against Eastern Illinois and sent a message. And then even in this game, he went to Imani Hansberry pretty early. So we'll see. I'm not worried about Coleman, but if he doesn't come into the game with a certain type of, you got to be free of mind, but also have focus, and that's the balance I think he's got to strike.
Marcus Damask, 18 points in this one. We saw it against Kansas, what he's capable of. I wasn't really concerned about him with the lack of production, lack of making shots in his first game, but what did he show you? And then Luke Goody as well. Those two gave them a needed shooting burst, obviously.
Yeah, you touch on it. Both of them needing a really needed shooting burst for sure. Damask, I'll start with. Hey man, it's almost like a wake up call. Like, oh, you look around, you're like, I'm one of those guys. Like, I got to be one of those guys on a nightly basis. And that's not always going to be reflected in production. That doesn't mean 18 a game, but the aggression that I talked about, where stop looking around, man. You're outside of Terrence Shannon, you should probably be the second in field goal attempts on this team.
Yeah, he belongs here. Like he belongs is like a go-to guy on a team like this. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's and I again, we talked about this preseason, how some of these guys have to see it to believe it. Mm-hmm. And that should have happened against Kansas, but you know, the more times that Demas can say, "Oh wow, top five team, I'm almost dropping 20, like an efficient 20." And both he and Goody have been really good defensively. I think that kind of – we talk about the shooting and what they can provide offensively, but there's a reason why they're playing as much as they play, because they're both really good with angles, which you have to be if you're not like the quick-footed guy. So they're great with angles, leveling guys off. I'll show some stuff on the film. Just Marcus Demas guarding Cam Jones. He guarded Kolick a couple times, and his size and his ability to level guys off with his chest helps, and it helps a lot. So you're going to need these guys. And with Luke Goody, if he continues to guard and be serviceable on that end and then space the floor and knock down shots, you're going to probably have to keep finding more time for him. Mm-hmm. Because now it gives you two bona fide floor spacers offensively, and that's only going to help you with Terrence Shannon and with some of these other guys that want to get downhill and want to get more easier shots around the rim.
Not getting much from the guards off the bench. I think you and I kind of knew Dre Gibbs-Wahlhorn. Could he continue this? What does 18 points in the opener help him, really, in the next coming games? But Justin Harmon, just 4 points through three games. And Dane Danger, just 4 minutes in this one. So the depth did not show up.
No, and this was going to be a short rotation in this game anyways. There was just a select few number of guys that were capable of playing in this game. That's no disrespect to the guys that didn't play. It's just, you know, different games call for different personnel. So, you know, going down the bench, yeah, Dre Gibbs-Lahorn, not every game is going to be Eastern Illinois. I think we all knew that.
Yeah.
Right? But I do think they're going to keep giving him opportunities because you can tell there's something there.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he offers something a little different offensively. I know he's proven in practice and proven in workouts that he can really shoot the ball. So that's definitely going to come along as well. And then for Dane, yeah, just wasn't a game for Dane. And yeah, I get people all the time telling me, well, we just need to throw it into Dane. And it's like, this isn't football. You can't just play on one side of the field, one side of the court. You saw when he got in late, that is a different pace, man. And he's worked so hard with his conditioning and on his body and all that. But sometimes that doesn't even matter against a team like Marquette. You need like your five, you know, quick on your feet, quickest on your feet type guys to go in and play in a game like that. Because on both ends, it's just who's the best conditioned, right? Your conditioning may have improved, but you may not be
right.
Top five on the team in conditioning. So Brad was going to roll with those guys that you know gave them the best chance to win, and now you hope that you have a locker room that can deal with that and not kind of internalize it and go into themselves. And then lastly, with Harmon, you need more out of him. Like point blank, you need more out of him, because, and I think I made this point on the last podcast and I'll reiterate it, be the guy that they recruited. Like when they're watching film, Utah Valley State, you're salivating because you're like, oh man, look how confident he is coming off of ball screens. Look how confident he is shooting the ball. Look at these cuts that he's making. Look at him kind of disrupt passing lanes. I mentioned he's not a rock star on the ball defensively, but he competes.
Yeah.
And now it just looks like he's thinking a lot, and he needs to cut it loose. And especially in the role that he's in, you know, he may only get 15 minutes a game, 10, 15 minutes a game. So that's all the more reason to just let it fly, come off, be aggressive, get downhill. Those cuts you made against Kansas, there's a reason he played at the end of the game against Kansas. You need more of that, because too many times guys are recruited a certain way. Maybe they come from a different school, and then you come in and you want to be this completely different player. And I get it. You know, he's kind of a ball mover right now,
mm-hmm.
and a spacer. He stands in the corner and then – he gets the ball from point A to point B, but there are thousands of guys.
They got plenty of them.
Yeah, thousands of guys they could go get to do that. There's a reason they got you, Justin Harmon. So that's another thing I'm interested to see, because if he comes along, now things really start to round into form, and you're not so reliant on the on really the first 5-6 guys.
This episode of the Illini Inquirer podcast is presented by Underdog Sports. We see a lot of you are downloading Underdog Sports, using the promo code, and having fun, which we love to see. If you haven't already checked out Underdog Sports, be sure to do so. It's super easy to use. You go on the app, go pick whether favorite players will have a higher or lower stat total than what is listed. For example, Travis Kelce, he's very popular these days. If his number is set at 50 receiving yards, and you know Taylor Swift is in the house, you may feel confident he's going to go way higher than the number. Do that with 2 to 5 different players, and you're in business. If you go 5 for 5, you can 20x your money. So sign up today with promo code Illini and get your first deposit doubled up to $100. Visit UnderdogFantasy.com or find them in the App Store. And don't forget to register with promo code Illini to get your first deposit doubled up to $100. There are a lot of fantasy companies out there, but we decided to partner with Underdog because it's the easiest place to play fantasy sports. It's also the fastest growing fantasy app in the industry. You must be 18 or older and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play? Call 1-800-522-4700 or visit www.ncpgambling.org.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
I know what Marquette ended up with, like 1.07 points per possession, but I love watching that team play offense, the way they pushed the pace. They did miss some open shots, missed a couple at the rim, but I think Illinois had something to do with that. I believe in this defense, Mike. Like, I think this defense is going to be really, really good and give them a chance. But I think the next 3 games against lower-level opponents, and then you kind of get this off week as you move the Colgate game to mid-December. It's going to be a big time in practice, I would imagine, especially on the offensive side of the ball.
Yeah, because as the year goes on, you don't get a ton of dedicated work. The winter break certainly helps when guys don't have classes, and if I know that program, they're going to be doing some variation of 2-a-days in there. I mean, these next couple games, you want to test some things out maybe. And definitely offensively, I mentioned the moving and the cutting, and if Ty Rogers, because Ty Rogers is really good defensively, I think that's clear. But offensively, there should not ever be a moment where he's not moving or screening or cutting, like constantly. Like he needs to do that, because if he stands stationary, you're hurting your offense. Mm-hmm. And I'm just thinking about, I'll give one scenario of just like a potential look that they could throw in, because I've been clamoring for some back cuts, especially out of the corner, because what ended up happening, they got so predictable late that Marquette just started to edge closer and closer, and almost when it was in like a full denial. Mm-hmm. On some of these dribble handoffs, and that's what led to Ty Rogers getting the moving screen late in the second half. And so think about this, if you're going 5 out, and a lot of times what they'll do is if the ball gets swung back to the top of the key and there's a wing and corner guy on that next side. So picture this, left side, ball gets swung back, pop, Coleman Hawkins. Now I'm catching it. I got Terrence Shannon on the right wing. I got Ty Rogers in the right corner. Okay, so their principles is that when somebody catches it at the top of the key, there's a rip cut from the guy on the wing. That guy has to automatically vacate. And then when he vacates, the guy from the corner comes up for a dribble handoff. And then that's how they continue their continuity. Why not mix in a scenario where if you want to utilize the attention that Terrence Shannon brings and the cutting that Ty Rogers has, that same structure, I get it if I'm Coleman. Now I'm going into a dribble handoff with Terrence Shannon, and all eyes are on Terrence because all they see all game is him coming off the screen. Maybe I keep it. Mm-hmm. And if you keep it, now you have a cleared side, and now it's boom, back cut from Ty Rogers. Like those type of variations, they have to play that game. And Coleman's smart enough to do that stuff. Like, hey, they're all keyed in on Terrence. All right, I'm keeping this one. Or maybe I'm keeping it and going to the lane. Maybe we have Goody in that right corner. or Damask in that right corner. We got a shooter. They're glued. I keep this. I get downhill, and maybe we get, you know, a drift pass. We get the ball moving around, and there's just more quality looks. So I know that's a tangent, but that's examples like I'm talking about of just better offense, less predictable offense, because some of that is what Brad Underwood's doing. It's, hey, here's the template. Here's the continuity. You got to play out of it. You can't run the same continuity the whole entire game. That's how these defenses get a beat on it.
Yeah, do you think – I've heard people, does Underwood need to run more sets, or is this just what the team is without landing the point guard that they wanted?
They could definitely run more sets. I think what they have to mix in, and they don't have the personnel of a Marquette, so they can't play that fast, that frequently. But they are going to have to play quicker, I think. And maybe that's finding some more like secondary transition quick hitters, because this continuity that they're running right now, it can be hard at times, because if you're getting over half court at 23, now you get into this continuity. Now it's 14, 13. And if you don't get something off one of those dribble handoffs or ball screens, now 8, 7, 6, and you're getting close to hoist time. So that's something I think that they could potentially mix in. But you also, yeah, they scrapped what they were doing last year, and you don't want to have to do that again. So I like the continuity that they're running. These guys just have to play just smarter on that end, and thinking the game more. And you just can't be robots, especially in five out. You're a robot in five out, and you're standing, your offense is screwed. You're not going to get any type of lanes to drive. So yeah, I mean, we'll see what type of changes are made, but I don't expect a ton. They just need to play a little bit smarter.
Valparaiso, Southern, teams that Illinois should handle pretty easily here, Mike. Obviously, you got to bring it, but what do you want to see? Like, what would give you a little bit a better feeling about this team heading into the middle of early December, where it gets real interesting here?
Yeah, I mean, I'll keep beating the drum, just the movement and cutting. For some reason, it was – and Oakland ran a funky zone, so that's a little bit unique. But the movement and cutting was the best so far against Kansas. And I saw more movement and cutting in that game than I did in the next three games. So definitely that. But, again, these non-conference games, too, it's going to be a personnel game as well. Like, you're probably going to see a lot of Dane Danger in these next three games. So what I'm looking for is, hey, after playing 4 minutes or whatever Dane played, are you good, right? Are you good mentally? Because in these type of games, we still need to count on you because we have an advantage inside. You didn't really have an advantage inside if you're them. And I want to see them finish around the rim better. I mean, there's just too many times, you know, I was on post-game radio and people were calling in and they're like, we need to throw it in and get you know, Marquette's shooting shots around the basket and this and that. And it's like, Illinois's getting shots around the basket. They're just not converting. I mean, how many times? I mean, Terrence missed two or three point blank layups. And
yeah, they're 8 of 16 at the rim. 8 of 16.
Yeah, that's not good. That's not good. And this is a team that over the years has been pretty solid as a 2-point finishing team because they don't shoot a lot of mid range shots. But Ty Rogers missed a few. Ty Rogers passed out on on one. I shouldn't say passed out. He might as well have passed out on that kick out to Damask. But yeah, just more, and that's a toughness thing. Like, you just finish the play. And sometimes I don't think, you know, for a guy that was like my size, I had to try all these like quick finishes because I wasn't gonna be able to like work out down there. These guys are big. Like, these are big guards, and it was always somewhat of a gripe that I had with Io. If I was going to have one gripe with Io, it's how often he played off of 1 foot. And Terrence, it's the same thing. Like, dude, you are 6'6", 220.
He's a tight end,
Like, like, his speed is – there's no question it's advantageous for him and that he can get downhill, and his speed allows him to blow by guys, and his first step off the ground is quicker than anyone else's, so they can't really contest to block the shot. But at times you have to mix in playing off of 2 feet. He'll get to the line more, one, and two, it's just, hey, I'm big. Let me put you in jail. Let me back you down. And that could be another function of the offense. That's something where I'm like, hey, instead of all these dribble handoffs into the corner, fake the dribble handoff. Let's go right into a back down.
I don't have a lot of gripes about Terrence Shannon because he is defending his butt off right now.
100%.
He's hitting, 38% from three. His shot looks great. He's taking good ones for the most part. But he's 8 of 17 on twos. And he talked all offseason about this mid-range game. I think if he adds that, Mike, he's going to average 20 points a game this year. Like, I think if he just gets a little bit more efficient on those takes to the hoop, like, that's where he can really add up these points that make up the difference for Illinois that has a need for points, and he's obviously their best guy at it.
Yeah, mid-range game for sure.
Runners.
Like we talk about, and playing off of 2 feet, you probably draw more fouls. Now you're getting even more opportunities to score. So, yeah, I mean –
Yeah, I don't mean just like two-point jumpers. I mean runners, jump stop, you know, get
anything,
them going, anything
like that. I think that's – and, again, that's all playing off of 2 feet. It's giving you more balance around the rim, and we watched on film last game of him taking off from Lou Henson's coat. And he'll have those times, and he can finish those type of layups. But just locking in and focusing in, and you know, he can't play for the foul either when he's going up, because if you're going off 1 foot, the likelihood of you getting that foul call is less than if you were to play off two. So yeah, I mean that's just kind of the stuff I want to see. If you're the guys that haven't played off the bench that got limited minutes against Marquette, how do you look now that you're not coming off an 18-point game like Dre Gibbs-Lawhorn was, or Harmon played pretty well against Kansas. So can they find something and gather a little bit of confidence in these next few games? Because even the Colgate game, December 17th, man, you better be on your P's and Q's. Because that – I mean, they blew the game. I think they gave up a 24-point lead to Syracuse. Mm-hmm. But they were smacking Syracuse because they don't beat themselves. They force you to play uber, uber disciplined. So you got to get some things in line before you play a team like that.
Before I let you go, Mike, any thoughts on the Big Ten? Michigan looks pretty dang good right
great.
Now.
I do think Purdue is just kind of in a league of its own right now. Yeah. Michigan State, I'm not going to beat the dead horse here. You know how I feel about them. It was always going to come down to shooting because they lost a 45% three-point shooter, and that's going to affect a lot of their ball screen stuff. They are not shooting it well. From three,
this is right, 16% from three.
Yeah, I mean, there's just less room for AJ Hoggard to operate. You watch the contrast between last year and this year with Michigan State. Hoggard's got all this room driving downhill, getting layups point blank at the rim. It's not there right now. So they need to make some changes as well. Maybe Carson Cooper is a guy that they implement into the starting lineup. He's a little bit, has a little bit more like ball skills than Sissoko does. But yeah, going on down the line, I mean, Iowa, you gave somewhat of a fight to Creighton, but Iowa's just, again, they want to track me. Mm-hmm. They're not focusing a ton on the defensive end. They got some good transfers. They got some good freshmen. Michigan looks good, man.
Yeah.
Michigan looks good. I mean, the jump that Doug McDaniel has made, if he can sustain this throughout the season, I mean, he's playing like an all Big Ten caliber type of guy. I think they might have to mix in Jalen Llewellyn in the next couple weeks or in the next few months. So I'm interested to see how they do that. But Namari Burnett, another great addition for them. Kamwa, another guy as well that just fits what they do. Taris Reed looks like he's taking another step now that he's not like playing the 4-5, 0-3-0-4 Detroit Pistons. Both Wallace is sitting on the block. Reed has a little bit more room to operate. So those are a couple of the teams, and maybe I'm forgetting some definitely stuck out. I know Nebraska's undefeated right now. They haven't really gotten a true test, but they've taken care of business. And then the Hoosiers play Wright State Raiders tonight. 9.5-point favorites, which is somewhat surprising. Wright State's got a couple guys that can really, really go. And Indiana's played some close ones.
Yeah.
Against Army, against Florida Gulf Coast. So they definitely have some things to figure out because their offense hasn't looked great. And we'll see if Kelo Ware can keep things up.
Yeah, I would think Michigan is the surprise good. Maryland, the surprise struggle for me. 1-2 with losses to Davidson and UAB. I didn't see that coming.
No. And Davidson, Davidson's very similar to Colgate where, if you're not disciplined, they'll – they'll go and beat you. But UAB, they don't even have Jelly Walker anymore. So I'm not sure what to make of that, but definitely a disappointing start for them. We'll see once conference play rolls around if they can figure things out. I know they're one of the teams you felt like brought back a few guys, and then even the guys that they added, some talented freshmen, and then Jordan Geronimo was a guy that was just, you thought could just kind of be plug and play for them. But with Jameer Young and Dante Scott and Julian Reese, there's enough familiarity there where you shouldn't be dropping these early non-conference games. So we'll see once these teams are really tested. I mean, I think Minnesota plays Missouri tonight, I believe. So
yeah, Maryland's got Villanova on Friday night. So that's
and Villanova just dropped one to Penn.
Right.
So I think
that's gonna be a
big one. So man, I mean, if they lose by 10 to 15 to Villanova, I mean, that's not your, I shouldn't say not your father's, it's not your older brother's Villanova, you know, this time around. So yeah, man, I'm interested to see how things play out, because again, I think Purdue's just in a league of its own, and because that guard play has been tremendous. I mean, think about this Illini team with Braden Smith.
Yep, sure could use one of those right now.
That dude can go, man, and he's keying a lot of what they're doing beyond just Zach Edey. So I'm interested. I mean, we're getting to that weird time of the year where you get a glimpse of Big Ten play in those early December matchups, but yeah, man, it's always a physical league. It's a great league, and we'll see if anybody can knock off Purdue.
Yeah, I agree with you. Michael Toop, you're the goods, man. Always appreciate the insight. We'll talk to you next week.
Appreciate it, man.
You've heard us talk about Home Field Apparel since the start of the season. There are a lot of collegiate apparel brands out there, but we wanted to partner with Home Field because their designs are the best out there. Some of Illini Inquirer's favorites are the basketball ringer tee, the rose tee, and the 1980s long sleeve with the script Illini. It's great. Be sure to check out homefieldapparel.com, filter by Illinois, and see what we're talking about. And our listeners get an exclusive deal using code Illini23. Using that code, Illini23, gets you 15% off your first order. We all know you're wearing Illini gear, so if you're in need of a refresh, we really think that you should check out Home Field Apparel, which has the best designs, and these shirts, guys, are really comfortable. Their designs are super unique, and a lot of thought goes into each concept. There's really nothing else on the market like what Home Field is doing. You can find them at homefieldapparel.com and use code Illini23 for 15% off your first order at homefieldapparel.com. Thanks as always to Michael Tulip for his great insight on Illini basketball. Just a reminder, no live podcast after Valparaiso on Friday night, as Joey Wagner and I are going to head a little bit to Iowa, get about halfway or a little bit farther than that to Iowa for the football game on Saturday. So we will do a post-game podcast for Illinois basketball after the Southern game on Sunday night. I will be at home, but Derek Piper will be at the arena, and we will do a podcast after that. So that's when we'll get our basketball fix here again, and we'll try to get Stephen Bardo on again next week, Michael Tulip, as always, on next week. So we've got plenty of basketball. But before we get out of here, I do want to do a little bit of football, because Brett Bielema is being coy about his quarterback. I don't think he really named a starter when he went on SiriusXM, Big Ten Radio. I think he kind of gave some word salad and said something about a starting quarterback, but you get that quote and it's not exactly clear. But Joey Wagner asked Brett Bielema directly about his starting quarterback, and here's what Brett Bielema had to say on Thursday.
Who you think you're going to start at quarterback on Saturday?
I think our guys have 100% no doubt in their mind what's going to start at center or quarterback. So I think the one part that really became clear to me as we began to evolve with our players, right? They get really good at practicing what they do, right? And what we emphasize in practice, our guys go out and do very, very well. So I was clear and adamant about what we were going to do from Sunday on. What the outside world knows, it doesn't really matter to me. But what happens on Saturday is what matters most.
There you go. He's just going to keep Iowa guessing. But here's the timeline. Luke Altmyer, Brett Bielema said, was cleared earlier this week. I think it was Tuesday. He said he let his team know who was going to be the starter on Sunday. If I were a betting man, which I am not because I'm not very good at it, I still think John Paddock has a real good chance of starting. And I think Illinois has a chance with either of those guys, but I still question whether Illinois would bench somebody that has the belief of his teammates like that. Just put together those two games. And against this Iowa defense particularly, I think John Paddock, his skills of quickly diagnosing and getting the ball out quickly, I think that's really, really important against this team and not making huge mistakes early on. Luke Altmyer, I think, is very talented and has been very good, and he deserves to start, right? But it's just, this is one of those rare instances where, because of injury, you can lose a job, because this guy just threw for 507 yards, just led Illinois to 2 wins and saved their season. So it's nothing against Luke, who I think is a key foundational piece. But I know it got reported out Wednesday that Luke Altmyer is starting. I still have my doubts. So we will see on Saturday what happens with that. We will have an Iowa versus Illinois preview on the podcast, probably just within a few hours of me posting this one. So be on the lookout with that. Talking with David Eicholt about the Iowa Hawkeyes, who are one win away from clinching the Big Ten West championship outright and going to the Big Ten championship game. And then Joey Wagner and I will talk some Illinois as well, including more about this quarterback situation. Thank you, as always, for listening to the Illini Inquirer podcast. Give us a follow, rating, review, wherever you get your podcasts. Check us out on the YouTube channel. Just hit the like button, subscribe to us, hit the notifications bell as well. We always appreciate that support. And if you're not a VIP member, I would say wait till next week. We got one of the best offers of the year. Our Black Friday sale was awesome. So you'll get access to Jay Lehman's film rooms, Michael Tulip's film rooms, all our VIP insight, recruiting information, all of that at Illini Inquirer. All right, everybody, have a great day. Take care of each other, and we'll talk to you next time right here on the Illini Inquirer podcast.
Bye, everybody.
You can now relive the best moments of the UEFA Champions League 24/7. The UEFA Champions League channel is a new 24-hour streaming channel serving non-stop goals, highlights, and full match replays from the world's most prestigious club competition. Reminisce on your favorite moments, legendary players, and brilliant goals with the UEFA Champions League channel, streaming around the clock on Pluto TV and the CBS Sports app.